have to figure out which way to face. Because the din requires that you have to face Eretz Yisrael. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have to face Yerushalayim. When you're in Yerushalayim, you have to face the Makom HaMikdash. But when you're in Chutz Lot, you have to face Eretz Yisrael. So this is learned out from the Pasuk in Malachim. And we did our Yomim, the Tfilas Shlomo, and Shlomo HaMelech completed the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, and he offered a Tfilah. And he emphasized that the main purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't really mention so much about HaKrovos HaKrovonos. He emphasized that the Makom HaMikdash is based on Tfilah. Everyone should come to Daven, the non-Jews should come to Daven, individual people should come, the nation should come. If you have a problem with your next door neighbor, whoever wants to Daven should come to the Beis HaMikdash and Daven. And those who live in Chutz Lort should face Eretz Yisrael. So it's usually assumed that this is a Din LeDerabbanan, only learned that from Tfilah Shlomo. But when you look in the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchas Tfilah, the Rambam gives you the history of davening. So he says, Min HaTorah, one is obligated to daven once a day, every day. And the Rabbanan, they institute, you should daven 3 times a day, and Shabbos and Yantar 4 times a day, and Yom Kippur 5 times a day, and Ne'ilah in addition. And when the Rambam, and then the Chachamim introduce a specific text for the Tfilah, and the Seder at Tfilah, when the Rambam writes what the din used to be, Min HaTorah, and then they changed it, so the Rambam writes, Nochach HaMikdash, to face the Beis HaMikdash, that was part of the Din Deraisa. So the question is, where does it say that in the Chumash? We see it in Tfilah Shlomo. Where did the Rambam see this in the Chumash, that it should be a Din Min HaTorah? So the Netziv writes on this week's Sedra, on Parshas Re'eh, it's full of mitzvahs. Every pasuk is another mitzvah. So the Netziv claims that this is the pshat in the pasuk, the Shichna Sidrushu Uvas HaShama. He understands Tidrushu means to daven. The Sheikh Nasirusha, you should daven facing the Beis HaMikdash. He thinks that that's where the Rambam established this principle, that you have to daven Nochach HaMikdash. You have to be careful to observe all the dinim, but especially if the Rambam writes that it's a din and a Torah, you certainly have to be careful. So we need, tonight when we daven Ma'ariv, we're going to have to figure out which way is Eretz Yisrael in order to be able to daven. Let me just mention another din in today's Sedra. The Chumash writes in today's Sedra, all the Yamim Tovim. So we have a Yom Tov Pesach. So you look in the Chumash, what we call Pesach is called by the Chumash Chag HaMatzos. And then the Chumash has another Yom Tov, Chag HaPesach, that's on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, when you bring the Korban Pesach. So Chumash, that's called Chag HaPesach. And what we call Pesach on Leil Tezvav, that's Chag HaMatzos. On the Shulchan Aruch, they bring the Machlekes HaRishonim. One does not observe Avelus on the Yomim Tovim. So what about Erev Pesach in the afternoon? Sudas Heistoichet Ad Yom Tov. The Tesis in the end of Zvachim says that doesn't cancel Avelus. Observe Avelus even Erev Pesach in the afternoon. And the Shulchan Aruch Paschal, like the other Rishonim, against the Tesis, like the Ozer Ruah, that Erev Pesach in the afternoon is Zeichet Ad Yom Tov. It's the Yom Tov of Pesach. So if Chalila, one is observing Shiva and Yom Tov comes, Erev Pesach comes Chatzos, so the Chatzos cancels the Shiva. And you are permitted to observe Avelus in the afternoon. If one is observing Avelus of Shloshim, and it comes Chatzos of Erev Pesach, so that cancels the Shloshim. That's the Pesach in the Shulchan Aruch. The commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch point out that a lot of people make a mistake. They think just like Erev Pesach in the afternoon, one doesn't observe Avelus, it cancels the Avelus. And the same is true every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yom Tov. So they say it's a mistake. It's only Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Erev Pesach in the afternoon is Chag HaPesach. That's when you bring the Korban Pesach. Every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yom Tov is Nishkin Yom Tov. I live in Washington Heights, and the rabbi in the shul used to be Rabbi Schwab, Heiler Rocha. So the Balabata knew that he had a practice. And they knew he was going to come to be Menachem Mobile Friday afternoon after Chatzos. Because he knew that a lot of people, like the commentaries quote, a lot of people think that Erev Shabbos afternoon you call it quits. So he let it be known he's always going to come Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, I think. And to explain to them that the din is one has to observe Avedah still Shabbos actually, until soon before Shabbos, that you have to get ready for Shabbos. Let me just mention a third din from today's Sedra. Every pasuk is another din. The third din has to do with Jewish history. You have the din in the Parsha about Ir Hanidachas. If you have a city in Eretz Yisrael where the 51% of the people worship Avodah Zarah. So the Torah says you have to burn down the whole city, destroy all the property, even the property that belongs to the tzaddikim who live in the city. And those who worship Avodah Zarah, you put to death those who didn't worship Avodah Zarah, you don't put to death. So the simple reading of the parsha is that the din of Erni Dachas only applies if the majority of the citizens of the city, 51% or more of the people who live in the city, worship Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim quotes the story in Sefer Yoshua, that Yoshua ben Nun got reports that Reuben got Nechat Yishevet HaManasha, who went back to Eivra Yarden, he heard that they built a Mizbeach, and he heard that they were Makriv Korbanos, Shchut Echutz. One was Makriv Korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash is in violation of the Nisa Koris, but there's no death penalty. So Yeshua ben Nun heard that they built a Mizbeach and they Makriv, Shchut Echutz, Makriv Korbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. So he said, we have to put together, we have to send two Rabbanim to give them Tachoka, to give them Mitzvah that they should stop. And if they don't listen to the two Rabbanim, then we have to put together an army and go wipe them out and destroy the whole city. So the Rambam writes, where did this come from? Since when do you deserve the death penalty for violating the Yisur of Shkut Echut, Shechting outside of Beis HaMikdash? So the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim writes that this din in today's parsha of Irani Dachas is not restricted only to the situation as is described in the Chumash where the roiv of the people worship Avodah Zarah. If the roiv of the people eat treifas, the roiv of the people wear shatnas, the roiv of the people shech karbonis bachut, same din applies. That's how the Rambam interprets that story in Sefer Yoshua, that Yeshua ben Nun heard that the people were violating shkut echutz, and everybody's violating shkut echutz, the majority of the people violating shkut echutz. They have to put together an army and wipe out all of the people who are worshiping, who are doing the avir. And in the Mishnah Torah also, when you look in the Rambam Sefer, in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, the Rambam writes a couple of expressions which he borrowed from that parsha in Yoshua. The Rambam says, when the Sanhedrin hears that there's a city in Eretz Yisrael where the roiv of the people worship Avodah Zarah, so the Sanhedrin should send two Rabbanim to give them Tochacha. Where did he get that from? He's quoting from the Psukim, by the story of Eivah HaYarden, by Reuven Gon Chatzishevet HaManasha. And then the Rambam says, if they do tshuva, they're off the hook. The Rambam says, where in the world did he get that from? He got it also from the Sefer Yoshua. That's what it says. We're going to send two Rabbanim, and if they do tshuva, we'll let them go free. And if not, if they insist they want to continue to do the Avodah Zarah, then the Rambam uses the expression that appears in Sefer Yoshua, Tzorim Aleihim LaMulchama. That expression appears there. So the Osameach points out in his commentary on the Rambam that it's not only in the Mor Nevuchim that he writes this, in the Mishnah Torah also, the way he describes the whole story of Irani Dachas is borrowed from the story in Yeshua. So you see that he didn't change his mind. The Rambam, even in the Mishnah Torah, understood that the parsha of Irani Dachas even applies to any other Avir. These are three dinim that appear in today's Seder. The first din I spoke of was about davening Nochach HaMikdosh, facing Eretz Yisrael. The second din was that Erev Pesach is also a Yontif, but the Chumash refers to as Chag HaPesach. What we call Pesach is referred to by the Chumash as Chag HaMatzis. And the third din is the Rambam's Mechudosh Dike Pshat in Irani Dachas, based on the story in Sefer Yoshua. The Rambam learned from history, from Tanakh, how to learn Pshat in the Chumash. Everyone should have a happy birthday. Short ratar on the parsha. In the end of Parshas Re'eh, we have the Parshas Hamoados. The Chumash lists off only the three Yamim Tovim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and does not mention Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are mentioned together with the Shavuos Shigalim in Parshas Hamor, as well as in Parshas Pinchas by the Mosaf. So in today's parsha, we have mentioned that in connection with all the Shalosh Regalim, there's a mitzvah simcha, samachta b'chagecha, etc. But in this parsha, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not mentioned. So that's why the Tanaim have a machlokes
comes, so the Chiyuv Simcha, the Nihu Gavelus, are contradictory mitzvahs. So the Halacha says that when Yantav comes, it cancels Shiva. And if Yantav comes, if one is in the middle of Shloshim, it cancels Shloshim. Shabbos does not cancel Shiva, it does not cancel Shloshim. And the official explanation given by the Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi, because on Shabbos, there is no Chiyuv Simcha. It's only Chiyuv Simcha on Yantav. So what about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So in the Mishnah, in the third parak in Ma'ikotan, that's a machlokes hatanaim, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancel Avelus or not. We paskin halacha l'maisa that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur do cancel Avelus, but that doesn't necessarily imply that that's how we really paskin. There's a chiyuv simcha. It could be based on the klal that any sofik Avelus is lahakel. Kolamik. Mara says just like kolamikol boretz halacha kamosa b'chutz loretz. Any slight suffix, as far as orla b'chutz loretz, you go l'kula. And any slight suffix regarding avelus, you go l'kula, even if it's yochid keneged rabim, even if it's a machlekes, it's not really a machlekes in hilchas avelus, it's a machlekes in hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so still, you still go l'hakam. When it comes to avelus, you go l'hakam. But the Gemara in Erevin raises the question whether one recites the bracha Shehecha Yonu on Kiddush and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. On Shalosh Hagadol for sure you recite Shehecha Yonu. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur the Gemara is not sure. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you're not sure? What did you do last year? Nobody remembers whether they said Shehecha Yonu and Kiddush last year on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. Everybody knows you say Shehecha Yonu. So the Gemara says yes, that it's a rishus, that it's optional to say Shachyanu, that we know. The question is one obligated to? Because on Pesach Shmos Sukkis, it's an obligation to recite Shachyanu. When one has a pre-chadosh, that's only optional to say Shachyanu. So that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's a rishus, it's optional to say Shachyanu. That's for sure, everyone agrees. And we all remember that last year they did say Shachyanu Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Shaila is whether one is obligated to say the Shachyanu. So what's the Nekudas HaSofek? So some of the Rishayim explain, Taka, one of the Rishayim from Lunel, Rabbeinu Yohanan from Lunel, explains that the Gemara Sofek was whether there's a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Maskana is that you are obligated to recite Shachyanu, that there is a Chiyuv Simcha. Obligation to recite Hallel on Pesach Shavuos Sukkis is an expression of the Simchas Yontif, the Simchas Aguf and the Simchas HaNefesh. So Simchas Aguf is you have Ein Simcha LeBasar, Ein Simcha LeBiyayim. Simchas HaNefesh is by reciting Hallel. So the Gemara raises the question, the Malachim ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how come the Bnei Yisrael are not reciting Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Rebbe Shlomo responds, no, the Hanhoge of Klal Yisrael is proper. Since these are Yomim Naroim, Sefer Chaim and Sefer Meisim, Suchim Lefanov, so it doesn't make sense to recite Hallel. So when the Rambam quotes the Gemara's answer, that we do not recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so he says, they are not Yimei Simcha Yisera. Means that there is a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's not Simcha Yisera. So that's why we leave out the Hallel. There is a question how to read the Psukim in the Parsha. The Torah says, Samachta Ato, Odincho, Itecho, V'Almona, etc. It speaks about women also. So Simcha Siyantim should really be a mitzvah saseh, Shehazman Brahma, that women should be exempt from. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, it's a machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid, how we should paskin. Is this one of the exceptions to the rule? There are so many exceptions to the rule. Women are chayiv in Korban Pesach, and women are chayiv in Kiddush on Shabbos, and women are chayiv in Matzah. There are many mitzvahs asay shazman groma that the women are mechuyiv in. So the Gemara has a machlokes, and it's a machlokes how we paskin, where the women are obligated to observe Simchas Yontif or not. So those who hold that women are not mechuyiv, how do they read the pasuk? So they say, no, that's the husband's obligation. Samachta ato ubeisecho v'almana, that's the man's obligation, is to be misameach others. Aisha baila misamcha, the husband's mitzvah of simcha. The Rambam writes that there's a special mitzvah to give tzedakah on Yontif, because if a person just eats and drinks and makes merry, this is what he calls simchas hakeres. My belly is enjoying everything, and I'm sameach. But the more correct way to be sameach on Yontif is to be mesameach those who are less fortunate than we are. Give tzedakah. So that's why the minig always was that the rabbanim would make an appeal for tzedakah for aniyim on Yomim Tovim. The inyan of simcha is to be mesameach others. On Shabbos there is no chiyuv simcha, so there's no inyan to make an appeal on Shabbos. So the svarim quote from the Zohar, a line that says, "Ein." The Mishnah says, "Ein bein Shabbos liyontif eloich on nefesh bilvad." So the simple reading on the Mishnah is that on Yontif, one is permitted to do a malacha for the purpose of Echol Nefesh, whereas on Shabbos, there's no heter Echol Nefesh. You're not permitted to do a malacha for the purpose of Echol Nefesh. So the Zohar quotes this Mishnah. This was an old tradition. The Mishnah was not written by Rabbi Yudah Nasi. It was edited by Rabbi Yudah Nasi. This line in the Mishnah existed way before Rabbi Yudah Nasi. He was the end of the period of the Tanaim. Rabbi Shimon was way before. Yudah Nasi was a Talmud of Rav Shimon. So the Zohar quotes this Mishnah, Ein bein Shabbos liyontif eloich on nefesh bilvad, and presents it that it's regarding eating by yourself. On Shabbos, eloich on nefesh bilvad is mutter. One is permitted to eat all by himself, because there is no chiyuv simcha. But on yontif eloich on nefesh bilvad would be aser. To eat by yourself on yontif is not permissible. You have to invite over guests. You should invite over guests who are less fortunate. Hager, Yosem, Almona, Shevi, Kevecha, to be Mesameach others. A Chosin has a Chi of Simcha also. So the Chi of Simcha of the Chosin not only requires he should be Mesameach the Kala, the Chi of Simcha requires he should be Mesameach all of the people in the community. So that's why we assume that the chassan has the chiv to get an aliyah in Shivas Yimei Amishta, because the one who gets an aliyah, strictly speaking, is supposed to lay in the psukim. He's supposed to be malamed Torah to the whole kehillah. So liman haTorah is afforded pikuri Hashem Yisharim Misamchi Leiv. Liman haTorah is something that is puts one in a state of simcha. That's why an ovel is not permitted to learn Torah. Tisha B'av, one is not supposed to learn Torah. So a chassan who has a chiyuv simcha is a chiyuv to get an aliyah, it says in Shulchan Aruch, because strictly speaking he's supposed to be laning. And even though we no longer have that practice, the Falkori lanes, but it's considered, using the principle of Shemeh Kaina, is considered as if the Oilav HaTorah does the laning. So the chassan who gets an aliyah is considered as if he's misameach the others, he's misameach the whole kohol by laning the psukim. That's why the meaning is that the chassan says Torah. By the chassan says Tish, the chassan says Torah at the Sheva Brachas, at the Sudas of Sheva Brachas. This is the way the chassan fulfills his mitzvah of simcha to be mesameach others by teaching them Torah. Thank you.
schedule. So the schedule says after.
David.
Say a short letter on the parsha. In the end of Parshas Re'eh, we have the Parshas Hamoados. The Chumash lists off only the three Yamim Tovim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and does not mention Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are mentioned together with the Shalosh Shigalim in Parshas Hamor, as well as in Parshas Pinchas, by the Mosaf. So in today's Parsha, we have mentioned that in connection with all the Shalosh Shigalim, there is a mitzvah simcha, Samachta b'chagecho, etc. But in this Parsha, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not mentioned. So that's why the Tanaim have a machlekes, whether there is a chi of simcha Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not. The din is that if, we spoke about it already, if one is in Avelus and Yom Tov comes, so the chi of simcha, the nihug Avelus, are contradictory mitzvahs. So the halacha says that when Yom Tov comes, it cancels Shiva. And if Yom Tov comes, if one is in the middle of Shloshim, it cancels Shloshim. Shabbos does not cancel Shiva, does not cancel Shloshim. And the official explanation given by the Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi, is because on Shabbos, there is no Chayiv Simcha. There's only Chayiv Simcha on Yom Tov. So what about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So in the Mishnah, in the third parak in Ma'ikotan, that's a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancel Avelus or not. We paskin halacha l'maisa that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur do cancel Avelus, but that doesn't necessarily imply that that's how we really paskin. There's a chiyuv simcha. It could be based on the klal that any sofik Avelus is l'hakel. Mara says just like kol amikol baretz halacha k'mosa b'chutz loretz, any slight sofik as far as orlo b'chutz loretz he go l'kula. And any slight suffix regarding Avelus, you go Lekula, even if it's Yochid Keneged Rabbim, even if it's a Machlekes, it's not really a Machlekes in Hilchas Avelus, it's a Machlekes in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so still, you still go Lehokim. When it comes to Avelus, you go Lehokim. But the Gemara in Erevin raises the question whether one recites the Bracha Sheech Yonim on Kiddush and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Shalosh Shigalim for sure you recite Shech Yonah. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Gemara is not sure. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you're not sure? What did you do last year? Nobody remembers whether they said Shech Yonah and Kiddush last year on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. Everybody knows you say Shech Yonah. So the Gemara says, yes, that it's a Rishus, that it's optional to say Shech Yonah, that we know. The question is one obligated to? Because on Pesach Shemar Sukkis, it's an obligation to recite Shech Yonah. When one has a Pri Chodosh, that's only optional to say Shech Yonah. So that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's a Rishus, it's optional to say Shech Yonah. That's for sure, everyone agrees. And we all remember that last year they did say Shech Yonah Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Shaila is whether one is obligated to say the Shech Yonah. So what's the Nekudas HaSofek? So some of the Rishonim explain, what are the Rishonim from Lunel, Rabbeinu Yoinasan from Lunel, explains that the Gemara Sofik was whether there's a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Maskana is that you are obligated to be such a Chiyuv, that there is a Chiyuv Simcha. It's for this reason that the Gemara raises the question, why don't we recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Because the Gemara seems to be assuming that the obligation to recite Hallel on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos is an expression of the Simchas Yontov, the Simchas Aguf and the Simchas HaNefesh. So Simchas Aguf is you have Ein Simcha LeBasar, Ein Simcha LeBiyayin. Simchas HaNefesh is by reciting Hallel. So the Gemara raises the question, the Malachim ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how come the Yisrael are not reciting Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Rebbe Shlomo responds, no, the Hanhoge of Klal Yisrael is proper. Since these are Yomim Naroim, Sefer Chaim, Sefer Meisim, Suchim Lefanov, so it doesn't make sense to recite Hallel. So when the Rambam quotes the Gemara's answer, that we do not recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so he says, they are not Yimei Simcha Yisera. is that there is a chiyuv simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's not simcha yaseira. So that's why we leave out. That's why we leave out the halakha. There is a question: how to read the psukim in the parsha? Torah says, "Amachta ato, olimcha, itecha, v'halmana." Etc. Speaks about women also. So Simchas Yontem should really be a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama that women should be exempt from. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, and a machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid how we should paskin. Is this one of the exceptions to the rule? There are so many exceptions to the rule. Women are chayiv in Korban Pesach, and women are chayiv in Kiddush on Shabbos, women are chayiv in Matzah. There are many mitzvahs haseh shazman groma that the women are mechuyev in. So the Gemara has a machlekes, and it's a machlekes how we paskin, where the women are obligated to observe Simchas Yontif anata. So those who hold that women are not mechuyev, how do they read the pasuk? So they say, no, that's the husband's obligation. Samachta ato ubeisecho v'almana, that's the man's obligation is to be mesameach others. Aisha, Baila Misamchas, the husband's mitzvah of simcha. The Rambam writes that there's a special mitzvah to give tzedakah on Yontif, because if a person just eats and drinks and makes merry, this is what he calls simchas hakeres. My belly is enjoying everything, and I'm sameach. But the more correct way to be Sameach and Yontif is to be Sameach those who are less fortunate than we are. Give tzedakah. So that's why the minig always was that the Rabbanim would make an appeal for tzedakah for Aniyim on Yomim Tovim. The Inyan of Simcha is to be Sameach others. On Shabbos there is no Chiyuv Simcha, so there's no Inyan to make an appeal on Shabbos. So the Svarim quote from the Zohar, a line that says, "Ein." The Mishnah says, "Ein bein Shabbos liyontif, eloichal nefesh bilvad." So the simple reading of the Mishnah is that on Yontif, one is permitted to do a malacha for the purpose of eichal nefesh, whereas on Shabbos, there's no heter eichal nefesh. You're not permitted to do a malacha for the purpose of eichal nefesh. So the Zohar quotes this Mishnah. This was an old tradition. The Mishnah was not written by Rabbi Yudal Nasi, it was edited by Rabbi Yudal Nasi. This line in the Mishnah existed way before Rabbi Yudal Nasi. He was the end of the period of the Tanaim. Rabbi Shimon was way before. Rabbi Yudal Nasi was a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon. So the Zohar quotes this Mishnah, Ein bein Shamas liyontav alachal nefesh belvad, and presents it that it's regarding eating by yourself. On Shabbos, Echon Efesh Bolvad is mutter. One is permitted to eat all by himself, because there is no Chiyuv Simcha. But on Yontif, Echon Efesh Bolvad would be usher. To eat by yourself on Yontif is not permissible. You have to invite over guests. You should invite over guests who are less fortunate. Hager, Yosem, Almana, Shevi, Kevecha, to be Mesameach others. Achosin has a Chiyuv Simcha also. So the Chiyuv Simcha of the Chosin not only requires he should be Mesameach the Kala, the Chiyuv Simcha requires he should Mesameach all of the people in the community. So that's why we assume that the Chosin has the Chiyuv to get an Aliyah in Shivas Yimei Amishta, because the one who gets an Aliyah, strictly speaking, is supposed to lay in the Psukim. He's supposed to be Malamed Torah to the whole Kehillah. So Liman HaTorah is a for the Pikuri Hashem Mishari Mesamchi Leiv. Liman HaTorah is something that is puts one in a state of simcha. That's why an Ovel is not permitted to learn Torah. Tisha B'Av, one is not supposed to learn Torah. So a chassan who has a chiyuv simcha is a chiyuv to get an aliyah. It says in Shulchan Aruch, because strictly speaking, he's supposed to be laning. And even though we no longer have that practice, the Valkori lanes, but it's considered using the principle of Shemei Kaina is considered as if the oil of HaTorah does the laning. So the chassan who gets an aliyah is considered as if he's misameach the others. He's misameach the whole kohol by laning the psukim. That's why the meaning is that the chassan says Torah. By the chassan's tish, the chassan says Torah at the Sheva Brachas, at the Sudas of Sheva Brachas. This is the way the chassan fulfills his mitzvah of simcha, to be mesameach others by teaching them Torah.
Property of the city is also Bahano. Everything is clear and it's also Bahano. The Gemara quotes the opinion of one of the Tanoi, not all the Tanoi. One Tanoi says that the conditions are so far-fetched that here in Idachas, that there never was such a thing in the past and there never will happen in the future. But one of the conditions is that if you have one mezuzah in the city, you can't burn down the mezuzah. If you have one sefer in the city, you can't burn down the sefer. So the whole din of Eretz Yidachas doesn't apply. So how can that be? The Tanoim couldn't visualize the city. Eretz Yisrael doesn't even have one mezuzah. And now there are several cities that don't even have one mezuzah. The Tanoim couldn't visualize it. Then there's another Tanoim. One Tanoim says it's not true. He was once touring Eretz Yisrael. And he told him this is the site where there used to be Eretz Yidachas, and the whole thing was burned down. Another Tanoim claims that the conditions that are needed to observe, to fulfill the mitzvah of Yisra and Mora are so far-fetched. The young child can only be between the age of Bar Mitzvah and 3 months later, the first 3 months of his Bar Mitzvah period. Steals money from the parents, and he buys Italian wine, strong wine, and he eats steaks with a bunch of hooligans, gangsters. And the parents have to be the same height and approximately the same weight and the same facial features and the same toned voice. So it's so far-fetched. A man's going to have a woman's voice, a woman's going to have a man's voice. So at one time it says it's so far-fetched, the conditions are practically impossible. That the Torah never was and never will be. There is no, it's never going to happen. The other time it says it's not true. He was once touring in Eretz Israel, and they went to a base of brothers, and they pointed out to him that Paul Nikbar, so-and-so, who was a Ben Sorema. And the next time it says that the conditions for the dinim of Tzaraz Batim, Dike Batim, are so far-fetched, has to be a stone house, and has to be in the corner, and two walls, that the whole thing is so far-fetched, never was and never will be. The other time it disagrees, that he thinks that it was. We have in the Gemara a possibility of one or two or three mitzvahs. 636 is a possibility that there may be one or two or three mitzvahs that never were or have ever once appeared. So to tell her, why in the world would these mitzvahs be in the Chumash? The Chumash is a collection of dinim that are not observed. So this way, let's say, the American Constitution, and every state has a state constitution. So when they wrote the Constitution years ago, they put in rules that made sense at that time. Now we live in a different society. Every couple of years, they have a constitutional convention, and they delete those laws that no longer make any sense, that don't apply anymore. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he wrote into the Chumash Dinim that Lo'ihoyah v'lo'asid liyos ha-mitzvah aloha, and the books that never was and never will be, the conditions are so far-fetched. So why did he write such a law in the books? He knows what's going to be in the future. He knows how the world is going to develop. So it doesn't make sense to put such a law in. So the Gemara gives the answer. It's put into the Chumash Drosh v'kabel Sar. You learn the Dinim and you get reward for learning the Dinim. So it's a Pella. How many dinim are there already about Irani Nidachas? The whole story of Irani Nidachas in the Gemara is maximum three blot Gemara. All the dinim of Mensur Mora, three or four blot Gemara. All the dinim of Tzaraz Batim, and Gansan, two or three prokim in Mishnah. It's hardly anything there. The whole Sachar Kol, if you add everything up together, Irani Nidachas with the Mensur Mora, with the Bais HaManuga, the whole thing is in Gansan less than 10 blot Gemara. So you make a siyum on a daf yomi every 7.5 years. So it would have been 7.5 years minus a week and a half. Would have been 10 blad vinsiga. So that's called rosh v'kabel schar. You should learn these dinim in order to get reward. And why should the Rebbeinu Shlom give us dinim that never will take effect just to get reward for learning? It's not to be understood. So the first Lubavitcher Rebbe writes, the Alter Rebbe writes, you see from this Gemara that there's something more to the Torah. It's not merely a collection of mitzvahs. It is a collection of mitzvahs. When it says you have to like tefillin, it's to be taken literally. And the Torah speaks about Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. It has to be observed. It's not just a concept. But in addition to being a collection of dinim, there's another concept. The Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel refers to the Chumash as the Mashal HaKadmoni. Rashi on Parshas Mishpatim quotes the Medrash, commenting on the pasuk Kashu Yoma HaMashal HaKadmoni Merishoy Mietzei Resha. So what is the Mashal HaKadmoni? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, the Chumash is the Mashal HaKadmoni because it's Mishal Oshel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Kadmon Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom is the ancient one with the capital A. He was there before Bria Sa'ilam. He's the one who brought the world into existence. So the Torah is a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean, a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it means two things. Number one, it's a mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the whole Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. That's why the Gemara derives halachas from letters in the Chumash. Extra words, and extra letters, and extra phrases. It's a mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's something more than that. The Chavetz Chaim writes in one of his svarim, Shem Olam, one of his little svarim, that he writes that it's a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he writes like a photographia balaz, like a photograph. He says, if I've never seen the king, but I saw his photograph in the newspapers, then on Drein Zecharum, I'm walking around in the capital, and I see a person whose facial features correspond to the picture of the newspaper, and is walking with guards to the right and to the left, so I can identify this person as the king, because I saw his photograph. So the Torah is a description of Elokus. In addition to being a law book, it's also a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we really can't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. The Kuzari has such a lashon, and other Rishonim write such a lashon. Also, Ili Yadaitiv, Hayisiv. If I would understand what Elokus is, I would be the Rebbeinu Shlom. We can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can only understand him derech mashal. If he would give us a mashal, we wouldn't understand it. He has to give a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. That's what Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim. So the Torah, with the collection of all of the 613 mitzvahs, the whole thing, bichmalusa, from the beginning to the end, is in addition to being a collection of do's and don'ts, mitzvah sesei with mitzvah lo sesei, is also a description of Elokus. So 610 of the mitzvahs in the Torah describe different aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence that we can even act out in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Every time a person does a mitzvah, so the Kiyum HaMitzvah represents a certain aspect of Elokus. And then the Tanaim claim that there may be one or two or three mitzvahs, the Irani Dachas, with the Bais HaManuka, with the Mensur Mara, could be that these can never be acted out in real life. Could well be that it's Lahoyev L'Yosid L'Yos. Why was it written in the Chumash? It was necessary for the completion of the whole description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what the Ramban writes in his Hagdama, in the introduction to his commentary on Chumash. He quotes from the Zohar that Kol HaTorah Kulo Kishmoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Torah from the beginning to the end is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean? Bereishis Bara Lekim? How is that? Bereishis Bara is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Means everything is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I talk to someone, I say, here's a chair, and here's a plate, and here's a fork and a knife. When I say what the name is, I'm describing what the thing is. So the Kol HaTorah Kulo Kishmoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole Chumash is, in addition to being a collection of laws, 613 mitzvahs, there's also a description of Elokus. And the Maharsha and Rav Chaim Volozhiner point out that this concept not only appears in the Zohar, that the Ramban quoted Kol HaTorah Kulo Kishmoisav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it appears in the Gemara as well. The Gemara derives the institution of Birchas HaTorah, that a person, when we said a bracha, Hamotzi Lechem and Ha'aretz on the Mezainis bread, supposed to say Hamotzi on the Mezainis bread, if you're eating it with a meal. And you said Shahakal, those that didn't want to say Shahakal, Hadoma, Mezainis on the rice, whatever brachas he said. So that's with the Rabbanim. When you say a bracha before you bench licht, or you say a bracha before you put on talis and tefillin, we assume this is all with the Rabbanim. There are very few brachas that are menatur. Birchas HaMazon, if you ate a meal like this, Kidei Sviya, then you're obligated to recite Birchas HaMazon, that's Min HaTorah. Kiddush is Min HaTorah. So one of the brachas that's Min HaTorah is Birchas HaTorah. Before a person learns, a man or a woman, before a person learns any Divrei Torah, one is required to recite a bracha. So the Gemara says, where does it say that in Chumash? So the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, in the end in Ha'azinu, Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I'm about to speak about the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should all praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mar says that pasuk is the source for the institution of Birchas HaTorah. So the Marsha asks, and Chaim Volozhiner asks, every time you learn Gemara, you have Shem Hashem. You can learn Bava Metzia, you can learn Bava Kam, you can learn 25 Vlat Gemara. There's no Shem Hashem over there. It's not like in Brochas that right away you have Shem Hashem on the first hour. We have Shem Hashem. So the Mefarshim, the Marsha, and Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner say, Kol HaTorah Kulo Shem Hashem Ekra. Whenever you're learning Torah, it's a description of Elokus. So that's why the Gemara says, even if these three mitzvahs never happen, and they will never come about in the future, but still it's important to learn these mitzvahs, and these mitzvahs indicate the nature of all the mitzvahs. That in addition to being obligations, mitzvahs asay, mitzvahs lesay, that we have to observe, they also represent a different aspect of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Should all continue to learn.
Good catch. Whoa. Man, that was impressive. So some kind of an empty.
We have in this week's parsha, we have the mitzvah of Shmitas Ksofim, that if a person made a loan, and it comes Rosh Hashanah of Matzoi Shemitah, then the Dinah is that Shvi'is Mishametis Kisofa. When Shemitah comes to an end, to a close, then it cancels all of the debts. Now your money to the butcher, your money to the grocery store, those debts are not canceled. Chof Stam is canceled when Shemitah comes to a close. So the Gemara records, Rabbi, the Shammai was the assistant chief rabbi, the Nasi, the Abbezni. All of the stories listed in the Mishnah and the others, the first name mentioned was the chief rabbi, the second name mentioned as the assistant chief rabbi. The Hilo, the person in the loan, Shemitah is going to come to a close, going to cancel the loan, so people are simply not going to lend any money anymore. There'll be a violation of the Pasuk in Chumash that unless the person say, Roy and Echo, people are young. I have you, and he won't want to make that money. So it says in the Chumash that you shouldn't act like that. He also thought that a lot of people were afraid to lend money. And officially you give over the furthest to the Bezin, and then the Bezin has a right to come back. That's not a violation of the egos. The lawyer who owes the money will have to sit there and pay the money to the Bezin. The egos is only when a private person comes to collect. The Bezin
comes to collect the money, so they don't have to ask for the money. The Goyver has to run to the Beis Din and pay. So the Beis Din now authorizes the person to collect the money on their behalf. So this institution of Kuzco fell into neglect for many generations. The Ravid, who lived in Brunel and Basquiat and Cardona, various Montpellier, various villages in the Provence, where we visited before, at the beginning of our tour. So the Ravid and his Chabrusev, Rabbi Mizrahi and Levi Palomar, they both write that for many generations they didn't observe Kuzco. People just lent money, and they collected the money after Shmita came to a close. They weren't worried about Kuzco. Why not? So the Ravid writes a very fascinating idea. He says that Kuzco is only if they have a Shnas HaShmita. Shmita has to be declared by the Beis Din HaGadol. So when you had a Beis HaMikdash and you had a Beis Din HaGadol, that they declared Shmita. Beis Din HaGadol has to count every year. This is the first year to Shmita, this is the second year, the sixth year, the seventh year, and this year is Shmita. Then they count another year, they count for 15, and they say, this year is Yoivon. So just like you need Beis Din HaGadol to declare which year is Yoivon, so do you need Beis Din HaGadol to declare which year is Shmita. So after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Din HaGadol no longer met in the official location in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Lishkas HaGozes. That's the official location for the Beis Din HaGadol, for the Great Sanhedrin, is that they should meet in the Beis HaMikdash. But still, there was a Beis Din in Yavne. There was a Beis Din in Yavne. Although it didn't have the full status of the Beis Din HaGadol, it wasn't about the correct location, but they were looked up to. So we speak in the Rabbanan, because the Bodhi HaTor has the status in the HaGadol. But the writer of the years went by, you no longer have any central authority who's counting. Maybe the Rabbanutan, it's a social group, it's where the sovereign is. No central body of Rabbanut is counting and declaring this year is the Shmita. So the writer writes, you don't even have Shmita in the Rabbanut. But in the days of the Amoraim, they did that Kuzco. They said, this was a little Hasidus, it wasn't even in the Rabbanut. This is relevant for the whole Chayt HaMechira in Eretz Yisrael. The Tam Shnas HaShmita, how serious is the issue of Avodas HaKarka in Eretz Yisrael, in Shnas HaShmita? So for many generations it was assumed that Shmita B'zman HaZeh is only the Rabbanan, because we know it can't lead up to Yoivon. It's a Machlokes HaTanaim, and the accepted opinion is that Shmita is only Daraisa. If you know that after 7 times 7, the 50th year will be declared as Yovel. If you know that you can't lead up to Yovel, if you like to call your Shvech or Leha, the Pasuk says that Grosim Jorba Oriz V'chol Yoshvech. That's the Pasuk that appears on the Liberty Bell. Yashu Tavayim Yovel throughout the world to all its inhabitants. What does it mean V'chol Yoshvech? Rashi Kol Yoshvech Oriz V'chol Yoshvech. Majority of the world Jewish population. Kotzke Rebbe wrote a whole Kol Kol.